Warning, the 619 Crimes podcast contains topics like violence, drug use, and suicide. Please consider this while listening today. Thank you.
Betty Broderick.
22-year-old John Ernest.
34-year-old Sean Nelson.
Kara Knott.
16-year-old Brenda Spencer.
29-year-old Ali Nasser Abulabad.
This is 619 Crimes Podcast, where every Wednesday we bring you short crime stories that took place in San Diego. I am your host, Al Rodriguez. What's up, everyone? Today's case is one that, to me, really hits home. I am a husband and father of two, and this type of case just terrified me. Home invasion and kidnapping. I don't know what I would do in that situation. But anyways, let's get to it. Michelle Renee was the manager at the Bank of America branch in Vista, California. She lived in Vista up in the hills. All the homes in her neighborhood are more than $1 million. It was the type of neighborhood where you feel safe. A really quiet place close to the beach of Oceanside, California. Michelle lived there with her 7-year-old daughter named Bria and her roommate Kimbra Oliver. On November 20th, 2000, Michelle was woken up by her daughter, Bria. Bria says she heard voices and saw eyes outside of her window. Michelle threw on some clothes and went outside to check. She didn't see anything. She looked all around but didn't see a thing. She convinced Bria that she must have been dreaming. Michelle and her daughter both went back to sleep and didn't give it much thought. The next day, Tuesday, November 21, at around 8 p.m., Michelle and Bria were home alone when they heard a super loud bang. The sound was three men breaking down her back door. They were dressed in all black and were carrying guns. Bria tried to run out of the home, but a man grabbed her. That man was Michael Higgins. Of the three, there was one man who was clearly the boss. He was giving the other two men orders. His name was Christopher Butler. The men were using walkie-talkies, and Michelle could hear that they were radioing someone who was outside acting as a lookout. Michelle could tell that the fourth person was a woman. That woman was Lisa Ramirez. Lisa kept referring to them by code names. Their names were Money 1, Money 2, and Money 3. Butler ordered Ortiz and Huggins to tie up the girls with duct tape. Huggins tied 7-year-old Bria by her ankles and her wrists behind her back and placed her on the floor. That's when Bria asked the man, "Are you going to kill my mommy and me?" Butler replied, "Not if your mommy does everything for us." Butler told Michelle that they had been watching her for several months. Michelle had no idea. Around 10 p.m. is when they finally told Michelle what they were planning. They told Michelle that she was going to rob a bank for them. They told her if she refused to, or if she somehow told the cops, that they would kill Bria in front of her, and then they would kill her too. Around 11 p.m., Lisa radioed the man that a car was approaching. It was the roommate, Kimbra. Huggins hid by the front door and waited for Kimbra. As soon as she walked in, he knocked her down and tied her up too. Since the banks don't open until 9 a.m., the kidnappers had time. So they made themselves at home. They ate Michelle's food. They started to just trash her place and even turned on the TV. Around 4:30 a.m., Butler ordered Michelle and Bria to shower. Michelle refused to, but Butler told her it wasn't an option. After about 10 minutes, Butler knocked on the door and walked right in. He was carrying a big bag. He put it on the floor. He opened it, and the bag was full of guns. He took them all out until he got to what he was looking for. 2 dynamite homemade bombs. Butler ordered the men to tape a bomb on Bria, and then Michelle as well. It was about 6 a.m. Butler told Michelle, "You have 10 minutes to say what you got to say to your daughter." All that Michelle could say was how much of an amazing daughter she was. Michelle told Bria that she was perfect for her. As Michelle gave Bria a long hug, she could feel Bria just shaking in fear. The men then took Bria and put her in a closet and put Michelle in the bathroom. At 8 a.m., Butler and Michelle jumped in her Jeep. Butler ordered her to drive, giving her directions while pointing a gun at her. As Michelle was driving down Santa Fe Avenue, she started to notice. Butler was guiding her to her Bank of America branch, where she was the manager. They got there and parked around 8:45 a.m. Butler told Michelle, "The bank opens at 9, and you have till 9:05 until both bombs go off." Around 8:50 a.m., a co-worker of Michelle's was unlocking the front doors when Michelle jumped out of her Jeep and she ran inside. She wasted no time. Michelle was usually a very friendly person, so co-workers of her noticed she was very quiet and looked worried. The bank's vault is controlled electronically, so it wouldn't unlock until 9 o'clock. So Michelle went into her office and sat down. She had a picture of Bria on her desk. She kept staring at it, kept fighting back tears. She kept trying to be strong for her. That's when she saw a business card that she had on her desk from a few days back. She grabbed it and it said, "On the spot photos, Christopher S. Butler, owner." She remembered the man that gave her that card. She came in a few days before and kept asking her all kinds of questions, over and over again. After about 10 minutes of questions, a woman went in and told him, "Chris, we gotta go." Michelle could remember the eyes, and it was the same guy. At 9 o'clock, Michelle grabbed her briefcase and she went over to her coworker. She needed her because the bank's rules required 2 people to go inside the vault at the same time. So she grabbed Loretta Myers and kind of forced her into the vault with her. Loretta knew something was wrong because Michelle had her briefcase with her, which is against the bank's rules. Michelle closed the door behind them and she right away told Loretta. She told her all about what was going on. Loretta didn't believe her at first. So Michelle lifted up her shirt and showed Loretta the dynamite bomb taped onto her stomach. As soon as Loretta saw that, she right away started to put stacks of cash in the duffel bag that Michelle pulled out of her briefcase. They packed that duffel bag until it barely closed. They were able to fit $360,000 into that bag. Michelle begged Loretta not to call the cops. She was afraid that if the men heard sirens, they would detonate. So Michelle ran outside to her Jeep, where Butler was now on the driver's side. She jumped in and Butler drove them to a dead-end street. Butler got off and ordered her to go straight home. He warned her about calling the cops. Michelle immediately started to drive home, going way past the speed limit. It was around 10 a.m. On her way home, she actually had to drive past the bank again. and she saw the first couple of police cars pulling up to the bank. As Michelle was driving home, she kept thinking they have the money already. Why wouldn't they just press a button and blow them both up? As Michelle was pulling up to her home, she saw her roommate Kimbra's car was gone. She thought the worst right away. She went to the front door, but it was barricaded from inside. She struggled, and once inside, she noticed it was super quiet. Too quiet. She thought her daughter was gone. She yelled out for her, and to her surprise, Bria yelled back. Both Bria and Kimbra were inside of a closet, hiding. They weren't tied anymore, and then Bria didn't have the bomb on her anymore. But Michelle still had the bomb on her, so she had no time to be happy. Michelle didn't know what to do. Kimbra told her she could cut it off. She had cut off the bomb that Bria had on her. Michelle was panicking, but Kimbra cut it off. After she did, the three of them ran to her neighbor's house. They called 911 and the bomb squad was called too. The bomb squad was able to determine that the bombs were fake. The dynamite wasn't real. The cops took Michelle in and she told them about the business card and how she recognized his eyes even with a ski mask on. The cops just thanked her for her statement and sent her home. Weeks went by and the cops had no leads and no suspects. Michelle kept feeling like the cops weren't doing enough. So she called the TV show, America's Most Wanted. The cops called Michelle right after and told her that it was a terrible idea. A few weeks later though, Butler and Lisa were pulled over on a routine traffic stop. The cops searched their car and found guns and Bank of America money straps. Robert Ortiz and Michael Higgins were actually found through tips that came in into the show America's Most Wanted. One was arrested in Chicago and the other in California. Months later, the four went to trial. Michelle actually testified. In trial, Michelle expressed her anger towards the cops for treating her like a suspect and not a kidnapped victim. Butler gave false statements that Michelle had been the mastermind of the whole thing. Lisa's lawyer blamed it all on Michelle. They claimed that Michelle was even sleeping with one of the men. The jury deliberated for 5 days. Christopher Butler was sentenced to 3 life sentences plus 64 years. Michael Higgins and Robert Ortiz were sentenced to 2 life sentences. Lisa Ramirez walked. The jury was convinced that she was just in an abusive relationship with Butler and that she was just a lookout that day. Even though in Lisa's first interrogation, she admitted that it was her plan. As for Michelle, in 2001, she moved down to Point Loma. Because of the trauma of that day, she had to go through many years of therapy. Unfortunately for Bria, during her senior year in high school, she had an accident where she fell and was paralyzed. Doctors told Michelle that her daughter wouldn't walk again. But Michelle believed that if she dedicated her full attention to her daughter, she would walk again. So Michelle quit her job. Bria graduated high school and college from a hospital bed with her mom by her side. And Bria beat the odds and made a full recovery. She is able to walk again. Michelle has gone on to do many things. She has published 2 books, a book and a movie called Held Hostage, and another book called 9 Days. A few years after the kidnapping, Ortiz actually read Michelle's book, and he felt ashamed of what he had done. He began to write letters to Michelle and Bria and beg them for forgiveness. Nowadays, Ortiz actually has a good relationship with them now. Bria even spoke on Ortiz's favor in his parole hearing. Higgins will have his first parole hearing next year, September 2024. That was today's episode. If you would like to show your support for this show, consider giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That would truly, really help us. It would go a long way for a small show like this. Again, my name is Al Rodriguez, and this has been the 619 Crimes Podcast. See you guys next Wednesday. Peace out.